Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 Podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them, because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome into the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. My name is Kyle Yates, and I am your host. I am joined, as always, by Mike Tagliere. You can find us on Twitter at KyleYNFL and at Mike Tagliere NFL Tags. I'm in a good mood, man. It is the NFL Combine. We're getting a bunch of information thrown at us, and it's been kind of this dead season. So I'm just soaking it all in, man. How are you doing?
Yeah, it's time to soak it in before everything changes, because, you know, free agency's coming up and then the draft, and everything will change in an instant. And a lot of those things we're going to talk about today. But I'm a little disappointed. You know, you're in a good mood. I'm a little disappointed because, you know, Joe Burrow, the whole thing with his 9-inch hands came out yesterday, and I measured my hands, and I have it's about like 10 and an eighth, and I'm 6'2", I'm 215 pounds, so I want to know why I was not invited to the NFL Combine at 37 years old.
I mean, it's a great question, and one that I think will plague us for years to come. Anyway, hey, we've got Travis May of RotoViz and host of the Dynasty Command Center podcast here with us. You can find him on Twitter at FF_TravisM. Travis, thanks for coming on, man.
Hey, glad to be here, and glad that we're starting off with hands and measurement Twitter. That's a great place to start.
Yeah, you wouldn't expect anything less here from the Fantasy Pros Podcast. Well, hey, today we are looking at running back and quarterback and breaking down these positions from a fantasy football perspective. So Travis Tags and I have all done our work on these guys, and we want to specifically look at the players who we feel can make the most impact for fantasy football right out of the gates. There will be other shows that we'll do like deeper dives in, but we wanted to talk about the top five players on our boards at each position and break them down a little bit here. So how we're going to do this is we'll send this around the room and each list our top five at the running back position first. And there's going to be a lot of crossover with these guys, so we'll talk about each player specifically afterwards. Before we do that, though, I want to tell you guys about Thrive Fantasy. It's an awesome game concept that I know you guys are going to love. Come hashtag prop up on Thrive Fantasy this PGA season. Thrive Fantasy is a daily fantasy sports app for player props. And this is the great part. They have eliminated the need to do countless hours of research because they only ask you about the top tier athletes in their respective sport. Choose 5 out of the 10 player prop options to build your lineup. Each prop has a fantasy point total associated with the over or under based on its likelihood to occur. The more points a selection is worth, the riskier it is. Rack up the most points to win a share of the prize pool. Thrive has new contests for each day of the tournaments, so don't sweat your golfers ruining your weekend by not making the cut. Thrive has over $10,000 guaranteed in prizes weekly with contests for PGA, NBA, and esports. Download Thrive Fantasy on the App Store or Play Store, or by visiting their website www.thrivefantasy.com. Use promo code PROS, P-R-O-S, when you sign up today, and you will receive a free $5 credit to play with. Sign up and hashtag prop up today. Tags, let's just go to you first and let's send it around the room here. Just list out your top five and then we can come back and dissect it a little bit further.
Yeah, so I mean, people are going to give me crap for this one, and Yates was number one on that list because when I told him that he needed to come around on Clyde Edwards-Helaire as his top running back, he's kind of like, whoa, that's bold. And considering the guy has an ADP of the number seven rookie off the board in Dynasty rookie drafts right now, I guess it is kind of bold, but the reason I have him here right now is because I feel like he's someone that's going to fit well into almost any offense right now. He has the most appeal no matter where his landing spot is. Whereas like you get into, I also believe the top tier is DeAndre Swift and Jonathan Taylor. Like those are my top three hands down. And then after that, I'm going to go into Zach Moss and Cam Akers. I will close out my top five. J.K. Dobbins is really close there. A lot of these guys, you know, and I wanted to make it a point at the top of the show before we start talking about our top five is that I'm sure that Yates and Travis will agree with me on this, is that landing spot and opportunity mean a whole lot to the running back position, where it's like if one of these guys were to fall into the fifth round, I'm not going to be nearly as excited about him. And whereas maybe Eno Benjamin or Keyshawn Vaughn, maybe one of those guys goes in the third round, I'm going to move them up my draft board because, as you guys know, opportunity, draft capital, all that stuff comes into play, especially at the running back position, because that's what's going to give you opportunity. I mean, Sony Michel, he wouldn't have had a job last year if he wasn't the first round pick. Let's be real about that. So those are my top five right now. And I'm curious to hear what you guys think on that.
Yeah, let's. So just to recap that was Clyde Edwards-Helaire at number one, then Swift, Taylor, Moss, and Akers, correct?
Yep.
Yeah. Awesome. So Travis, who are your top five?
Well, my top five have to kick off at number one, Jonathan Taylor. Number two, DeAndre Swift. J.K. Dobbins at three. Cam Akers four, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire at five. It's interesting that you had Edwards-Helaire as your one. I don't feel like that's a very common take right now, especially given his size. I mean, they were actually coming out with the running back measurements this morning, and Edwards-Helaire is actually 5'7" and change. And so it'll be interesting to see what he does athletically, just because if he doesn't really kill it in the 40 or maybe clean things up in the cone at 5'7", we're looking at a player that doesn't have any solid historical comps, but I do like his tape and what he can do, like you said, within a wide variety of schemes and offensive roles for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And you'll hear me talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire here too. For me, my order is DeAndre Swift out of Georgia, Jonathan Taylor out of Wisconsin, J.K. Dobbins out of Ohio State, and then I have Keyshawn Vaughn out of Vanderbilt at number four. And then I have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at five here. So let's dive in. We've been kind of bouncing around here, but let's talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So did come in with the measurements of 5'7", 207. So we're talking about a lighter back here. Kind of that threshold is 200, where you'd like to see these guys come in over 200. Obviously, the thicker that they are, the heavier that they are, and the more explosive that they are, the better. But with Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he doesn't necessarily win with super great top-end speed. And so, Tags, I'll turn this over to you. And what did you see in Clyde Edwards-Helaire's tape for you to put him at number one?
To me, he's a difference maker. People talk about the running back position and how it doesn't matter. And, you know, there's a fine line with this. And I'm not one of those guys that says running backs don't matter. I don't think they matter as much as some fantasy players think they do. And they don't matter as little as some fantasy analysts think they do. I believe there's a fine line. But NFL GMs, they tend to overrate running backs. And that's the reason that you're probably going to see a running back or two drafted in the first round, just because they're going to get that fifth year option. They get the running backs cheap. You'll see a lot of running backs come off the board on day two, rounds two and three. And I think that's where Edwards-Helaire is going to fall. He's a three down back. I have zero concern about his usage in the passing game. He's going to be used in that way. And when the ball is in his hands, he's one of those guys where when I was writing my notes on him and going through his film, I said, when people say that running backs don't matter, they need to watch him and say that they do matter. He makes people miss. He is so slippery. You know, we talked off air, Yates, and you talked about maybe like a Ray Rice. And Ray Rice, I think, was 5'8 in terms of his height. And Edwards-Helaire was 5'7 and 3'8 or something like that. So it's right in that territory. But these, like, he's a different running back than Ray Rice, but they're both extremely slippery. I see a running back that's a slightly bigger version of Darren Sproles that's built at 207 pounds that can handle some of those hits, play on all three downs. The way that he meshes with today's NFL makes me feel really good about him. I think the NFL is moving away from you have to be 6'2", 220 pounds to be a three-down running back because they're using him a lot more in the passing game. Edwards-Helaire is a guy that could see 60, 70 targets, and we know that that has tons and tons of value in fantasy football. So Can landing spot change all of this? Absolutely. If he lands in a spot where they have a 1-2 down back that they really believe in and he's going to be mixed in, I'm going to lower him down my board. But as of right now, I believe if he were to land with a team like the Falcons, that's where I'm anticipating them to go, because I've heard that they're going to cut Devonta Freeman. He kind of walks right into that same role. He's more slippery than Freeman ever was. He has that low center of gravity. He can contribute in the passing game. He's going to see very, very light fronts with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley out there. So that's where he's at. And if he, let's say he falls with the Falcons, guys, would you guys be willing, and let's say that someone like DeAndre Swift or Jonathan Taylor lands with the Dolphins, would you put Edwards-Helaire as your number one running back at that point? Because I would rank him as a top 15 running back if that's the, if they cut Freeman and they draft Edwards-Helaire.
Travis, I'll let you answer that one.
So I think that's a prime landing spot. And I like the really player comp in some ways to Devonta Freeman and him having a role that looks good on paper and an early opportunity. I think that would be great for his stock. I'd have to probably see the other players that I have him, you know, ranked below where they landed. But like you said, if I see Jonathan Taylor go to the Dolphins, I'm still going to have Jonathan Taylor as the running back one. I think he's going to destroy the combine. You know, he weighed in 225 plus, and he's probably still going to run a 4.45, something like that in that range. So I'm not really worried about him not making it talent-wise. And even if the landing spot is not, you know, the absolute perfect idea of what it could be, Jonathan Taylor, at this point, it's going to be tough for him not to be my running back one, just as it is, just because he checks so many stinking boxes.
Yeah. If Taylor, I'll say this, if Taylor runs a 4.45, I'm probably going to move him ahead of Swift. I don't know if he runs a 4.45. At 225, that's what he weighed in at.
Yeah. And so, I mean, he ran like that in that range, even in high school. He and Dobbins both.
He ran a 4.3. Yeah.
Yeah. He and Dobbins both ran in that range in high school. Basically, you know, 99th percentile speed coming out of high school. So it'll be interesting to see what they both do just as far as a speed score goes. I mean, Dobbins came in lighter, probably trying to get his time down. But Taylor, if he can run very fast at all at that weight, it's going to be impressive.
Yeah, completely. With Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I really do like him. And it speaks to the overall depth of this class that I can have someone at number five overall in a positional ranking, and I still really like them. Like, this is a very good class. And I mean, Travis, we could spend time talking about what this class could look like if Chuba Hubbard, Najee Harris, and Travis Etienne had all declared, like, oh my word. But I think this is still a really good class. And so to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire at five, for me, that doesn't mean that I dislike him or what he brings to the table. He didn't grade out extremely well in my like system because of his pass protection. He's a potential liability there. However, an NFL team is going to get their hands on him and say, okay, we need you to go run routes because of your hands and what you can do out of the backfield. So for me, I still really like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't like him necessarily above these other guys like Tags does, but I do see where you're coming from completely. So, all right, let's move on here and let's touch briefly on DeAndre Swift. So, Travis, you have him at number two. I have him at number one. Tags has him at number two. So we're all right in that same area. We all kind of think he's in that top tier. Travis, what do you think DeAndre Swift brings to an NFL team?
I mean, he's got an amazing dead leg move. being able to be elusive in space and succeed inside the tackles and win as a receiver as well. I mean, even dating back to his freshman year, he had the greatest receiving market share of any of the backs on that team, with, you know, Chubb being there and Michelle being there. So he demonstrated from a young age that he could be an all-purpose back. And that's how he was rated in his, you know, recruiting process, as well as being an all-purpose, do-everything type back. I'm not sure what his long speed is. He may even be a guy that abstains from that. I'm not really sure. I haven't heard officially if he's running the 40 or not, but I think he's somewhere around a 4.5 in terms of long speed. And I think he's going to do fine, as he did in the agility drills, even in high school. So I think he's going to test well as an athlete, not as impressively as, you know, a Jonathan Taylor, but he brings just about everything that you want in a back, which is exciting to see. And like you said, a deep-ish class.
Yeah, absolutely. For me, he's an overall well-rounded back, and those kind of guys grade out very, very highly. And so for me, DeAndre Swift is an extremely exciting back to watch at the next level. We touched on him, Tags and I were talking about him in the last episode with Matt Waldman. And so for me, I'm really, really excited to see what he brings. Let's talk about J.K. Dobbins here out of Ohio State. So he's both number three on Travis and my list. Tags, you don't have him in your top five. So I'm going to turn this over to you, Tags, and say, for you to kind of just walk us through what you saw with Dobbins or what you didn't see.
Yeah, with Dobbins, I don't think he's necessarily a great 1-2 down back in terms of, like, I've watched him run into the back of his offensive lineman in terms of his patience and vision. You won't see Jonathan Taylor do that. Jonathan Taylor is one of the more patient runners in this class, and that's why I'm like, there are guys out there that look faster on tape than they actually are, and then there's guys that look slower. If Jonathan Taylor runs a 4.45, like I said, that is going to skyrocket him up my board, because my favorite thing about him is patience. I don't think that Dobbins has it. I think Dobbins is better suited for that role that we kind of anticipated that someone like Alvin Kamara would have. You'd hope that he gets into somewhat of a spread offense where they can get him in the open field, use him on screens, have him run some routes. I just don't think that he's a three-down workhorse, someone that I could anticipate them trusting on first and second down to gain positive yardage over and over again. I would prefer him in a timeshare with someone that he can contribute, sure, on the early down work, but ideally, you're going to have him line up and use him maybe like Reggie Bush was at the start of his career. You can use him in a way like that, but it's all about, like, how do I project them? And as of right now, not knowing where they're at, it's impossible for me to say that a team takes a shot on Dobbins with the limited spots there are, because there's only, if you take a look at this, like, one of the most interesting things that you could do in the offseason is go through the NFL teams and say, which teams really need a running back? Which teams can we see using an upgrade? What free agents are out there? And you go through this and you run out of spots very, very quick. Like, there are not a whole lot of teams that can use running backs, like a workhorse running back. The ones that we do, we know that they're going to go to some of these top guys that we've been talking about. Dobbins, I don't think, fits that role. So I see him as a timeshare running back. Not to say that he's not a solid player, because he is, but it's more about who do I think has a better shot at getting a three-down role. And I think that Zach Moss and Cam Akers are guys that could potentially get that over someone like Dobbins.
Sure. Travis, what do you see when you put on Dobbins' tape?
I mean, with Dobbins, obviously, I see some of the same. I think he's like super decisive, but at times maybe overly so. He just wants to find that crease and hit it and sprint through it and stiff arm someone on his way out. He does that really well. I think he finds the one defender that he has to make miss really well, like you said, in space. So I think he's going to do that really well at the next level. I'm not really as concerned with his inside the tackles running as you might be. I think you can teach just a hair of patience with a guy like him, and take that, you know, eager, you know, hit that crease aggressiveness and kind of find that balance with somebody with Dobbins' skill set and his receiving ability and really just balance to his game. But obviously, he doesn't weigh 220 pounds. He actually weighed in like 209, which was actually kind of surprising. I think a lot of people thought he'd be like 215, 216, something like that. But, you know, we're kind of splitting hairs there. But he doesn't look like on paper anymore the huge feature back necessarily. However, he is going to test as like a 90th percentile athlete at the position most likely. He could have, you know, athletic measurables on par with Jonathan Taylor. I mean, when you adjust for size, maybe not. But he's still going to be really impressive in this class. And he's most likely going to get some early draft capital. Obviously, he did have some stints in college where he was just kind of bad. Like, there were a few games where I think I wrote this up a couple times on Devy Weekly series things for RotoViz, but man, if he doesn't clean things up, he's going to drop out of the top 10 at the position for me. And then shortly thereafter, he would kind of fix it. But man, yeah, there were definitely periods of time where he didn't look like himself. So I don't know what that was about, but he finished strong down the stretch for Ohio State, and now he's here. He's going to get day two draft capital. He's running back three for me.
Yeah, I echo a lot of the same thoughts that Travis had, and to put this into context, he jumped 43 inches in the vertical coming out of high school, which is just insane. So I'm excited to watch him at the combine. I think he's going to blow it up. Let's move on here. Let's focus briefly on a few other names on our list. Tags are very high on Zach Moss. What do you see when you put on the film that makes you like him all the way up here at number four for you?
Yeah, I mean, he has a reckless play style, and I think injuries are something that are going to lower him down boards a little bit because, I mean, his reckless play style tends to lead to injuries, and that's something that you have to kind of take into consideration, I guess. And it's probably going to affect his draft stock and why he may move down my list. But for a guy that's 5'10", 222 pounds is what I had him listed. Again, I haven't seen the measurements of all the guys today. Instead of like looking at those things, I was like literally marching my way through linebackers that are going to be taking on day three, going through and trying to find like diamonds in the rough. So I apologize for not knowing the exact weights that they came in today, but he's a guy that he fights for every single yard he gets. He's rarely brought down by an arm tackle. He's one of those guys that he reminds me a little bit of like a CJ Anderson type running back. Not to say that that's elite. I think he moves better than CJ Anderson did, but he just gets the job done. I mean, he's just a very smart running back. Eno Benjamin is another guy that can kind of fit into that conversation where I think coaches will love these guys. Eno Benjamin, someone that's always falling forward. He's just downhill. He knows where he's at on the field. He knows where he needs to get to. And that's one of those things about Jonathan Taylor that's just so good is that, you know, he knows where the white line is. He knows where the yellow line is when he gets towards the end zone. There's so many things to like about his game, and these guys are just like they're bigger running backs that they do fit that prototypical role. They may not be true three down backs where they're going to be on the field for all three downs and, you know, finish with 300 touches per season. But again, those roles don't really exist outside of a couple teams. So, yeah, I do like Moss. And could I be talked into Dobbins over Moss or Akers? Yeah, I can be for sure. It just depends on landing spot with these guys. And because, again, if the Dolphins were to wait on running back and then say we're going to select someone like Zach Moss, he's going to get opportunity. Do I think he's a game changer? Do I think that he's one of those running backs that matter? No, I really don't.
Yeah, with Zach Moss, I could definitely see him falling to somewhere like that, the fifth round territory. And for me, like talking about Moss, the name that keeps coming to mind, not as like a true comparison, but like the situation would be Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard coming out fell to the fifth round and falls into the perfect landing spot for him. And so now with Moss, could we see that where he lands in a space that's going to give him an opportunity and, you know, in a downhill scheme and where he can invite contact, which is something that he excels at. And so I can see that where he can then become this, you know, valuable fantasy asset. And of course, again, like you said, Tags, this is all going to be dependent upon landing spot and where these guys end up. And there will be a lot of movement around specifically at the running back position. So, okay, Cam Akers. Travis, I'm going to turn this over to you. What do we do with him? Because both of you clearly like him. I have him at 7 right now, but that's primarily out of just a place where I just don't know where I'm going to put him. Travis, what are your thoughts on him?
So Cam Akers is you know, high pedigree type player. I mean, coming out of high school, he was basically the number one running back in the country, top five recruit in all of college football. And for his first year, I think he was kind of living off that hype because the success, he did blow up and was productive, and just inefficient. And that was kind of the story of him in college throughout. Part of that had to do with his rough Florida State offensive line. Part of it had to do with him probably having the yips after getting destroyed for two seasons thanks to that offensive line. But what he does physically and the decisions that he makes quickly when he is met with contact in the backfield is just ridiculously impressive. I haven't charted as many games as Pro Football Focus people have, but in my charting, he basically gets 0 or negative yards in total offered to him before contact, like over a large sample. Like, I mean, every once in a while he'll have a play where he doesn't get hit right at the line or before, but man, it's really amazing that he even gained positive yardage. And so I love what he does just from a balance standpoint off contact, quick decisions. He can make some catches. He really is a feature back in that skill level. And I'm not really worried too much about him. If he gets draft capital, I think he will, because he's going to kill the combine as he did in high school already. Another guy, really, there's a handful of guys that are just absolutely going to kill it this year. So I can't wait to see what Akers does. I think he's another mid 4.4s type player in the 40, and probably he's going to kill it in the cones also. So I'm not really worried about him. He's definitely a 4, my 4 right now, and could be a 2 or 3 when it's all said and done.
Yeah, Tags, what do you see with Cam Akers?
I'm right there with him. A lot of the stuff he was saying there, that offensive line was terrible. The offense was terrible. The quarterback was bad. So it's difficult to say what his potential could be, should be, because he should. He's someone that I do expect to dominate the combine and improve his draft stock. And that's why, again, draft stock, and if he's able to do that, he's going to generate some buzz. He might start getting talked up there with DeAndre Swift. If he lands like in the high four or fives or something like that, we talked about that with Waldman, that it could hurt his stock a little bit. And Matt Waldman, he's been really good with running backs. I mean, he talked about the fact that he didn't have Swift as a top three running back in this class. So was that bold? Yeah, it was bold, but he's someone that's pretty much stands by his statements. And he was all in on Nick Chubb a couple years ago. And I mean, Chubb has walked into the NFL and he's done a very good job, despite playing behind a terrible offensive line. But Akers is someone that reminds me kind of like a Latavius Murray. I don't think he has the speed that Latavius does, because Latavius is a better athlete than people think he is. A little bit up and down in his approach, but he fights for every single bit of yardage. He's one of those guys where it's like, I do want to see him in a better offense and see how he can thrive. And that's why I have him in that number four, number five conversation between running backs right now. I think he's a tier behind the guys like Edwards-Helaire, Taylor, and Swift. But if he in the right landing spot, he could jump into my top three.
Yeah, I think for looking specifically at the Kansas City Chiefs, where I think all three of us will say they need to do something at the running back position to bring in some competition for Damian Williams and the guys that they have there. If we're talking about Cam Akers in the third round and the Chiefs pull the trigger, are we talking about Akers as the 101, right? Like, just because of that offense and what he brings to the table. So again, I do like Akers. It's more so just a question of, I don't know what to do with him necessarily, because some of that tape is really, really bad. But again, there are extenuating circumstances with that offense and specifically the offensive line. For me, I'll jump in really quick here with number four. For me, that was Keyshawn Vaughn, is a back that I don't think we should forget in this class. Also, if we're talking about terrible offenses, Vanderbilt was terrible this year. And so, but he showed the traits that I look for in a running back: great contact balance, ability to shed tackles, great vision, and great receiving ability out of the backfield. So for me, Keyshawn Vaughn, and he weighed in heavier than what I thought he was going to. Today, he weighed in at 5'9", 214. And so he was listed at 205 is what I think he came in at the Senior Bowl. And so for me to see that, I really enjoyed seeing him come up in that weight class. Now we'll see how he tests. But for me, he's a complete back who I really enjoy watching in this class. Before we move on to quarterback, I want to make sure you all know that Fantasy Pros has one of the best Instagram accounts out there. I'm not just saying that because I'm on the podcast, I promise. It's one of my favorite accounts and gives awesome quality fantasy advice, breaking news updates, and interesting stats. You can find Fantasy Pros on Instagram at Fantasy Pros. Head on over and check it out today. All right, guys, let's shift over to quarterback here. The value for rookie drafts in a single quarterback league isn't as great unless, you know, they're a mobile quarterback who can rack up rushing yards, right out of the gate, like a Kyler Murray. So, but let's do the same thing and go around here with each of our top five, and then we can dive in. And again, with quarterback, we don't necessarily need to spend a ton of time on these guys, but there's consensus at the top here. So Tags, we'll go with you first, then Travis, and then I'll finish it up.
Yeah, I mean, Joe Burrow is number one. He's going to be taking 101 in the draft. He's going to be playing for a long time. There's really nothing to worry about there. He actually does run more than he should, and he takes bigger hits than he should. That's one thing that Burrow needs to get better at, is like avoiding hits. He takes too many of them. Tua, number two. This is where it gets dicey, because I put Fromm at three because I believe he's the long-term quarterback. I think that he could be like a... I don't think he's a great fantasy pick, because I see him as kind of like a Joe Flacco type performer in terms of like what he does. I think he's more of like the game manager guy that could step up in a few big moments. I have him there because I think that he's there for longer term than someone like Jordan Love and Jalen Hurts, because I don't like Jordan Love, but he's going to offer fantasy value. If someone puts him on the field, he's going to give you fantasy value because he does have mobility. I don't like him as a quarterback, so I don't think there's much longevity there. And then Jalen Hurts is another guy that he could have value because of what he does with his legs. But again, I don't think that these are long-term quarterbacks, and wasting a dynasty pick on a quarterback that's probably going to be on your bench, you're not going to be starting these guys right away, it could be a wasted pick. I would rather take an upside player like a running back or a wide receiver.
Travis, how about you?
Yeah, so I've got Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, and actually, just due to the possibility of him going into a situation where he could play early, Jalen Hurts, just because he can run. I think we've seen that mattering early on in some young quarterbacks' careers, and then Jake Fromm at the five slot.
Awesome. For me, again, consensus at the top. So I've got Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa, and then Jake Fromm, Justin Herbert. And then my number five is actually Anthony Gordon out of Washington State. So I'm not a huge Jordan Love fan, so you will not see him in my top five here. But I do like what Anthony Gordon brings to the table as a late pick here. So, all right, let's talk about Burrow. So, Travis, how good can Joe Burrow be at the NFL level?
I mean, he put together one of the best collegiate football seasons we've ever seen. 60 touchdown passes, adjusted yards per attempt numbers that were just 99th percentile, kind of really do match what we like to see from a first overall pick as a passer. So I don't really have any questions with the 10-1 INT, touchdown to INT ratio, and just about every metric you want to see from a quarterback going for him. So I see a long-term starter. And when I see Joe Burrow.
Absolutely. So then Tua's in the same order for each of us. So Tags, if he didn't have the injury issues, could we potentially be talking about Tua as the QB1 in this class?
I don't have him close to Burrow, to be honest with you. To me, Burrow feels like a can't miss player. He's someone that I really thoroughly enjoyed watching. There's things that he does in the football field. Like, he doesn't overreact to pressure. His touch on the deep ball. There's not a throw on the field he can't make. I like Burrow an awful lot. And honestly, I'd be curious to you guys. He's going to go to the Bengals, okay? Let's say that they franchise tag A.J. Green or get him to a long-term deal. He's going to be starting with Joe Mixon in the backfield, A.J. Green. He's going to have John Ross on the flip side, and then he's going to have Tyler Boyd in the slot. How high is he? One of those guys that we could say is a potential sleeper even in redraft leagues this year?
Has to be, right?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, that, as we're talking about, we're looking at like Miami in the top five, right, that could be interested in Joe Burrow, but again, he's not going down there. But as we look at the teams in the top five, Cincinnati has a really good offense. Now, they need to fix up some things on their offensive line. But as you're talking about skill position players and someone who can step in and walk into a great situation, Cincinnati's pretty dang good.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. And I think they could still address the offensive line if they want to at the top of the second round, but they have some work to do on that defense, and I think they know it. But knowing that Zach Taylor is the coach there, obviously, they're building around that offense, and they need to protect their franchise quarterback. So I know they had Jonah Williams that'll come back this year, but adding an interior lineman or even a right tackle would help. But yeah, Tua is someone to me, like, while Burrow, yes, he benefited. He had some great players in that team. I mean, there's a stud that's not even in this draft that is going to be talked about in years. We're not going to talk about Chase right now, but geez, that guy, every single time I watch LSU, Ja'Marr Chase, that, like, put it in your bank, like, he's the 101, whatever year, he's a stud. Tua, he to me, it seemed like he was someone that benefited from the fact that he had Jerry Jeudy at his disposal. He had three potential first round receivers. Ruggs has talked about going the first round, and then Devonta Smith's not even coming out this year, but these are like three first round receivers at his disposal.
Four even if you include Jalen Waddle.
Yeah, that's the thing, we haven't even talked about him. So it's like, I think Tua is someone that benefited from that, whereas Burrow just elevated, and that's why he had an all-time season. He had great talent to throw to, he was great, whereas Tua, he kind of walked into a good situation. And it's not to say that he's a bad quarterback, I'm not saying that at all. I just don't think that he's, I don't know if he's a game, I don't think he's a can't miss player is where I'm at. And then the injury only adds to that for me, where it's like, that's a serious injury. He's probably going to walk into a worse situation. Let's say it is the Dolphins. For me, if I'm the Dolphins, I do not draft Tua, just because I feel like your team is not prepared to handle that quarterback right now. I think that they should build the team around him and then draft a quarterback next year. But teams, if they feel like they can get their franchise quarterback, if they like Tua that much, they're going to take him. That's a bad situation. That is legitimately the worst offensive line in football. There's not a single player on that offensive line that is better than average. In fact, I'd say they're all below average. The receiver position is fine. Tight end's fine. But if you can't block, it's not going to help. Tua doesn't have the most mobility. And obviously, after the hip injury, it's only going to get worse. So there's a clear gap between those two for me. And even in Tua and rookie drafts, I wouldn't reach for him.
Yeah, completely. Moving on, Jake Fromm is third for both Tags and I. I see a poised quarterback who necessarily isn't going to fit every scheme, but he can be a very good fit for a team like the New England Patriots, who thrive on getting the ball out quick, reading the defense, and moving the ball in short, to intermediate areas of the field. So, Travis, you have him ranked at five. What are your concerns when you watch Jake Fromm?
For me, it's not that I don't believe in his ability to kind of make some tough short-range throws. And really in big moments kind of find it in himself to make a big downfield throw. But I think in large samples, he's not the deep accuracy passer or, the passer by the metrics that you like to see that Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa are. And he doesn't have the mobility that even Joe Burrow or Tagovailoa have. I think once Tua gets healthy, I mean, he's going to be really good. So that's why those guys are in their own tier for me. He's kind of close to, you know, adjusted accuracy numbers for Herbert, but Herbert's actually more mobile. He actually put up some decent rushing totals in college, and I think he can do that in the pros. He's not like, he might be tall, but he's not just like a Phillip Rivers who's a statue. So I think he just, it's not that I don't like Fromm. I just really like the top three quite a bit better than him. And he didn't really ever have to carry an offense by himself because they always had a good rushing attack. They always had a good defense. You know, I mean, there were some great quarterbacks for Georgia in college that just didn't really work out in the pros. To think of Aaron Murray that posted some decent numbers from time to time. I'm not saying he's Aaron Murray, but he's definitely not an obvious first-round talent just from an arm talent perspective. And, you know, when you mix in the lack of the mobility, or at least elite-level mobility from the upside just isn't there for me.
Yeah, for sure. And touching on Jalen Hurts really quick, for me, I think it's going to take an NFL team, just like with what we saw with Lamar Jackson. I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's on a different level. But for me, it's going to take an NFL team to completely cater the offense to Jalen Hurts and building around his rushing ability, because that's what he's comfortable with. He's constantly pulling the ball down to run it. And so for me, I'm just concerned with him at the next level. But I definitely get your guys' points of, we're talking about fantasy football. If he lands in the right spot, he could be an instant producer. Justin Herbert, you mentioned him briefly here, Travis, but he doesn't crack tags as top five. You have him at three. So give us like the quick elevator pitch here on Justin Herbert.
Elevator pitch for Herbert is that he just can make all the throws and all the plays that you want a quarterback to. He struggled with inconsistency at times, more so than, like we said, again, Joe Burrow or Tua Tagovailoa, but he really cleaned things up down the stretch, really this final season. He kind of struggled in his junior year. He was at times just kind of making, forcing throws, but I saw way less of that in his final season, and it shows in his numbers and just in terms of his completion percentage, his adjusted numbers as a passer, and just really being decisive and kind of pulling it down, knowing what when to run, being a little bit less aggressive in that way. I think his first 2 years, why he missed four or five games in both those seasons, was he was just trying to force something for a minimal gain. So I want to see him find an opportunity where, you know, they're going to have some weapons around him and plug in, because he never had consistent wide receiver play either for the most part at Oregon. So I think I like what I see in Herbert if he has decent playmakers around him.
That's the part with Fromm I want to mention. That's the reason I liked Fromm, is he really didn't have big time playmakers to throw to, and he continually got it done. He did have the run game, and he had easier competition than Burrow and Tua. But I liked Fromm because, like, it seemed like his receivers didn't separate all that often. Even going back to Ridley last year, he didn't separate all that much. I know he was considered one of the better route runners in the draft, but he wasn't like a top tier prospect, and that's why he fell in the NFL draft. So that's the reason I like Fromm. Herbert, I'm kind of with you on him. Mechanics are good. He's got an arm that can make any throw, but his accuracy is hit or miss with me. I feel like he throws to spots more often than he does throwing with any anticipation. That's my concern with him, and that's the only reason I had Fromm higher than Herbert, is because I feel like it's a safer career longevity, even though the ceiling might be higher with Herbert.
Absolutely. So Tags, last guy here, you have Jordan Love in your top five. You mentioned him briefly. I'm not a huge fan, and I think that he has one of the lowest floors of any quarterback in the class. So give us just a quick little synopsis here of what Jordan Love is or what he isn't.
Oh, I don't like him at all. I really don't. Like, I have him in here is because if he does get an opportunity, and some people have talked about, some people are going to love, if there's an NFL team out there that loves the intangible, like the metrics, and they're going to look at 40 times, and they're going to look at his arm strength and the miles an hour and all that. He has a crazy strong arm. He has zero, like, up top, he doesn't have it. The mobility, he has enough. He reminds me of a worse version of Colin Kaepernick. That's basically how I could describe Jordan Love. And let's not pretend that Kaepernick was a polished gem ever. He was never a polished gem. And there were some rough edges with him. But Jordan Love, some of the decisions he makes are absolutely incredibly bad. And that's something that it can't be measured at the combine. And that's why I think Jordan Love is going to improve his stock at the combine, because he doesn't have to make decisions. He's got to throw to spots. He's got to show off his athleticism, and he's going to do that. That's why an NFL team might take a shot on him. And again, he'll offer something in fantasy due to mobility. But if your favorite team drafts him, I wouldn't be happy about it.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Travis, do you have any thoughts on Jordan Love?
No, I'm right there. He regressed his final season, and his decision-making was all over the place. Teams saw where he succeeded the year prior and were like, we can take that away. So I can't imagine how quickly NFL teams are going to do the same. So he's not a guy that I would be excited about at all.
Awesome. Well, guys, that was a great conversation. That's all the time that we have for today. We'll be back later on this week to go over wide receivers and tight ends and our top fives for those positions. Again, huge thank you to Travis May for coming on the show. It was awesome having you on, man. Remember to follow him on Twitter at @FF_TravisM. And again, a huge thank you to Thrive Fantasy for sponsoring today's show. Remember to download their app from your app store or go to thrivefantasy.com and enter the code PROS, that's PROS, to receive a free $5 credit. And make sure to hit that follow button on Instagram over at Fantasy Pros. For Mike Tagliere and Travis May, I'm Kyle Yates, and we'll see you next time. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait, did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.